Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to Providence Presbyterian Church. If this is your first time this morning, we welcome you, and we hope that you will sign the welcome pads or center of each aisle. That's a way that we get to know you. We get to know each other by passing back through. Please note who is sitting with you in your aisle and greet them at the end of the service. And we hope that you will join us afterwards for a time of refreshment in the Hope Room. For some coffee and refreshments. I would turn your attention to the bulletin for any announcements for this week. Continues to be busy, even though January is traditionally a less busy month. We don't take a break. I also wanted to note that committee reports are due to Dan Blackford today, so if you are a committee chair or have anything that needs to go in the annual report for the January 27th meeting, please make sure that you get those to Dan. Aside from the announcements, or if there's any announcements you would like to point out, does anyone have anything to add to the announcements? Julie.
Welcome to take any one or two, take two if you like, okay? They probably won't last a good deal, but please take them and enjoy them. They're still very pretty. Thank you.
Today it is my party, and then in 2 days it is my birthday.
How old are you
going to
be?
Four.
I'm going to be selling Girl Scout cookies today again after the service. For those of you who ordered before, they'll be coming in soon, and these are reorders, so they'll be coming in February sometime. So if you would like to buy some, there, meet me afterwards.
Any other announcements this morning?
I have some.
Yes. Of course.
The first one is to remind people we'll have a session meeting downstairs in the basement for just to get to know me. So you have any questions. And as you know, I can answer any questions. I'm kidding. So we'll really have a chance to get to know each other, because I know it's hard to schedule because our life is busy. So this is kind of like a really a good opportunity for people who think they will be having a hard time to meet with me or to get to know me. So today we're going to change some of the traditional way of after worship, going direct to the Hope Room to receive coffee. The coffee will be downstairs. So if you are really interested in coffee, you have to come downstairs. So, the second announcement, I think Dan was graceful enough to move the date for the 14th. So the annual report is, so people who are really in the committee have another 24 hours to work on that. The other piece is I'm still interested in meeting you in person. So Kathy and Keith Kober after worship will go around and ask you if you are really interested, and just reflect that on a specific date and time you want really to meet with me. Make it very simple. Don't think about you have to have a big meal for me or something, just a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, or even not a cup of coffee or a cup of tea.
Glass of water.
Just think of it as very simple thing, and don't burden yourself. The target of that is really to get to know each other. So, thank you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and let us open our heart and minds as we come before the Lord in worship. So please turn to the Sing the Faith hymnals and join the worship band as we sing page number 2055, and we sing our praise to God, "You Are My Hiding Place."
Treated others, our alienation from God, our unwillingness to be faithful and be a good people every day. We will not hide our sins and will remain silent, but we will confess them to the one who surrounded us with steadfast love. Please join me as we confess our sins and our need in this time of silent confession. And together let us say the prayer of confession. On this very day, waiting God, we admit all the lengths to which we go so we might avoid you. You offer us the kingdom of joy and wonder, yet we would hide in places where temptation waits. You invite us to feast on your grace and peace, but we stubbornly refuse, because you also welcome those we call outsiders, and we fail to see them as our sisters and brothers. We are quick to see all the mistakes that those around us make, but hope you will ignore our foolish choices. Celebrating God, before we come to our senses, we find you running towards us, sweeping us in your arms, tears of grace mingling with our cries of confession, a mighty river washing away our sinful ways to restore us to new life. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, we find no limitations on your grace, no reservations about your love, but a stream that overflows with wonder a place we can finally call home. And now let us sing the song of confession, number 2232, verse 2 and 3. God rolls away everything that stands in our way, our past, our sin, our pain, our hesitation, and reshapes us into a new people living in the new creation. What a wonderful grace. Friends, believe we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now it's time to remind ourselves we are staying in the same spirit of the Christmas spirit. And so let us remember our joy and concern to share with each other. And then we'll be followed with the prayer from our brother Mark Weber.
My joy and gratitude is that our
President has decided to withdraw the troops from Afghanistan, and we will have peace. Oh, please, Lord, bring all those soldiers home. Bring them home safely so that in this time we cannot be at war for the first time since I've been 20 years old.
I'd like to ask continued prayers for Walter, who's been having some problems with stomach pains, but also for all of his family, as Junior just has days to live. He is in hospice. He's pain-free right now, resting comfortably. His son is here. So I'd just like prayers for all that family.
I just want to say that my mother-in-law, she has the interview in the 18th. I think it's next Friday, so I need to pray for her so she don't get refused. Yeah, thank you.
He's going through the citizenship or the green card process, so just to clear this. So.
Like continued prayers for my dad, Jimmy. He's having brain surgery this week to remove a tumor. So prayers that that goes well, and also that when they get it out, that they can that it's benign.
I bid your prayers for my sister-in-law as she enters into the radiation phase of her cancer treatment.
Although I have to apologize to them for drawing attention to it later on today, it's Christopher and Daniel's 15th birthday today.
Vice President Joe Biden and his committee are supposed to be giving their recommendations on gun control to the president on Tuesday. Anyone who's been following this knows that this is a extremely contentious issue in the United States, and we've got every kind of opinion there is. I just want to pray that we can come to some consensus on some basic issues that will help cut down the violence of our society.
I want to pray for our pastor, co-pastor Chris, and hopefully she's enjoying her time with her family and blessing and a good time for this time away from us. Even it's hard for people here, but we know it's the best for her to get some break and refreshing.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have promised to hear the prayers we make through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now we are lifting up our thoughts and desires to you so that we may call on you with all our hearts, trusting in your goodness and grace. Merciful God, we believe in your justice and your love for us, which was declared in the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, who became one of us, sharing in and understanding our humanity, our suffering, and our problems. In Christ, you became near, and we saw your love in his teachings, his healing hands. We believe we are worthy of his sacrifice. So help us in our daily life to believe in our communities, our neighbors, and our fellow human beings as he did. We come before you with all the joy you have provided in our lives. For Harrison's birthday, for Chris's birthday, for bringing the troops home safely, and for peace in the world. Yet we also ask for your help for the troubles, the pains, and concerns experienced by those in this congregation and everywhere. We pray for all the victims of injustice and violence in the world, and also for those who are responsible for injustice and all the forms of violence. We pray for the members of this congregation who are unemployed and for the underemployed, as well as for all of us who are suffering financially. And we pray for all to remain hopeful for the future. Specifically, we pray for upcoming interviews and providing the faith that they are received with an open heart and open mind. Lord, we pray for all who are going through health problems, including Walter and Junior and their families, for Jimmy's surgery, for the upcoming radiation therapy. Please give them strength for healing and give us all the faith in their recovery. We also pray for all those who have lost someone recently and in the past and ask you to comfort them. We lift up our entire congregation asking for blessings and for grace, love, and for safety. We pray for our ministers, for Pastor Chris on the West Coast, for our elders, our deacons, our staff, and all members of this church. Lord Jesus, you have called us to be your followers, to proclaim the good news to the poor, and that set the captives will be free and the blind will see. Free us and our children from hatred and bitterness, and fill us with the love, the truth, and justice so that we can recognize and respect the dignity and the rights of others. Together, we pray for our church to be a faithful witness to Jesus Christ, the Liberator and Redeemer, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now it's time for children to come forward. Is this working now? No. Thank you. So you went to a place where you meet another Korean? Wow, that's interesting. So you went far, little bit far, to meet other people you know. Good. That's something maybe you can get anywhere. Ben? That's really a trip, huh? Do you remember how many hours you took in the plane to go from here to Florida? but many hours, huh? It's a long trip, and if you are driving in a car, you will take a longer time. And today our story is about Jesus Christ went to a place called Egypt. Okay? And this is the story. We didn't know really a lot because in the Bible, it's only one phrase about Jesus went to Egypt, Jesus came back from Egypt. And that's it. But for people who lived in Egypt, and as many of you know, I came from this land. So before I became American, I am originally Egyptian. So, and in my country, this story is everything to us. This is where Christianity started in Egypt on the same day when they went there. And if you went to any Christian, ancient, old Christian church in Egypt, you will see these pictures. Can you please, Yannick, just do it? Go up, down, scroll down, sorry. So you see, it's all, you will see this story. I mean, this image in everywhere. It's donkey and a lady on a donkey and a little baby and this kind of like an old man. He wasn't supposed to be an old man, but because in my culture, old man is the wise man, is the good man, is the one is always good. So the image is showing Joseph as the old one, the wise one. And he's, do you see, he's the one holding the donkey and directing the donkey and taking them everywhere. When Jesus went to Egypt, this was a very strange place. New people, they didn't look like him. They spoke a different language. But one thing happened. People loved him because he was a good baby. He was quiet and he was nice. And he was also smiling when people talking to him. And even if you can't do that, you still can be a good baby and a good boy and girl. But the most important thing is God is helping us when we go and see relatives, like when you went to Florida, Ben, when you went to see other Koreans, when you went to see other people, God is helping us to smile. When we go to the zoo, we are happy. We go to places where we can be happy. And God loves us. So he provided a dad and mom or somebody who's living with us to care for us, yes, and love us and tell us every day they are close to us. When we go, they go with us. When we come back, they come with us. And this is the story. Jesus, as a baby, traveling to Egypt, foreign land, being there, God was taking care of them. God took care of the father and the mother and the baby. And the same for us today. God is taking care of you and me and Papa and Mama. Okay, let us pray together. Can we pray? Let's say, thank you, God, for my parents, and thank you for people who are in the house taking care of me. And thank you for the people I go and visit from time to time. And thank you for everything in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and now you can go.
Good morning.
Morning.
The scripture lesson is from Psalm 46 in the Old Testament. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the only habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes the wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. From the New Testament. The New Testament lesson is found in Matthew 2, verses 19 through 23. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be back, and thank you for giving me the chance last week to go back and be with my family. And I'm sure you enjoyed the moment of hearing the God's voice through Jenny and sharing the communion. As this story is very close to my heart because it's close to home, I have a lot of questions to share with you about Jesus' trip to Egypt. The first question was about why this was the very short notice in the whole Bible about this trip. And one of the answers, it is very important to know that Matthew is the only gospel, or the only place in the Bible mentioned the story about the Holy Family trip to Egypt. One reason Matthew mentioned this trip, because his gospel targeted the Jewish listeners. That was his target. That was his aim to go toward these people. He wanted to tell the Jewish listeners, Jesus is really a Jewish guy. Jesus is really can go back, and his heritage and his root is goes back to be connected to people we always think about as a Jewish people. So he was trying to connect Jesus. When Jesus in Egypt, the first thing you remember as a Jewish, you think about Abraham being in Egypt. You think about Jacob being in Egypt. You think about the most successful Jewish person who was the second person in the whole ancient and great empire in Egypt, Joseph. And you cannot forget the guy who took them out of the slavery, what surely we know, his name is Moses. So when Matthew, his mission was to tell Jesus is really connected to all of us. There is nothing in the Bible, as I mentioned, about the Holy Family trip to Egypt. So we can really know, we cannot know what happened. Maybe we can guess, but this is not really professional to guess. But we can go, what, as we see when we study, to the secondary resource, if the Bible is not really providing that. So the secondary resource for us as a Coptic and as non-Coptic will be the Coptic Orthodox Church. Well, they have a lot of heritage and tons of books, talks, and details about tradition. Maybe some of this tradition you will laugh at, but a lot of it is really very valuable. And as we see it as a Western or a Protestant, this is not valuable because it's not like the Bible. For traditional churches, and for Eastern churches especially, traditions many times comes actually first. And Bible may be second. So for them, these sources is very important. And everything they wrote down, is they believe it literally. And I was until I was a teenager, and then I became a Presbyterian, and then I started to think in a different way. So I respected what they believe. But at the same time, I doubt about most of this information and see, is it really accurate? Is it really historically correct? But they really have very interesting stories about what happened when the Holy Family came to Egypt. They have thousands of stories. I'm not going to mention all of them. But I'm going to mention two interesting stories about what happened with the Holy Family coming out of Israel, coming down close to the Mediterranean Sea, and then goes down towards today the Suez Canal, and later goes to the River Nile and take the River Nile farther south to actually to my home. One of these very interesting stories was about how God blessed Egypt. And one of the pictures, Yannick, if we saw there, about the Holy Family, the one I shared with the children, there is actually something written on the top there. And the thing was written in Arabic and in Coptic. Not this picture, but the picture we shared with the children. Anyway, so the Egyptians, the Christians believe we are very special in Egypt because God actually blessed us. This is in Arabic, which is say Mubarak Shabi Misr, which is mean blessed my people Egypt. And this is actually in Isaiah. And because we as Egyptians, we want to understand it, it's really meant to the Egyptian, but I mean from a biblical concern was actually maybe God was speaking about the Jewish being in Egypt. But somehow, as Egyptians, we have to hear it this way and to understand it. It was about us. So we are blessed people and we are very special. So everywhere in Egypt, even Muslims know this statement, is God really gave the Egyptians a very special blessing. And this is how the Coptic Church was born, the Coptic Orthodox Church. Believe God came to us. I mean, everybody is trying to go to Jerusalem and get blessing, but God came to us. When God in Jesus Christ was disbursed for a place, we were the place to save God. And from there, they say, for one story is about that, was the Holy Family was seeking a source of water and they were struggling in the middle of the desert. And Jesus just put his heel on the ground, hit his heel on the ground, and then a spring of water came and gave them what they need. And very interesting, this site, until now, it's called the Jesus Footprint. And the other story, which is close to my home, which the pictures you were showing Janik before. That one before that. The one about the River Nile view, okay? So the story says when Jesus came down to the south and they were going through a very narrow way in the River Nile, a big stone was coming on them, and then Jesus, as a baby, put his hand and stopped the rock. And this is close to my home. I lived close to this monastery, like 30 minutes maximum from where I lived in Egypt. So this site called this Jesus, the Monastery of the Palm, referring to Jesus when Jesus stopped this rock. Maybe you can think about this has really happened or not, but for the traditional church, this is very accurate. And the Egyptians at this time, they were desperate for a hope. And if you know a little bit about history, Egypt is not at this time a great nation anymore. The first century, Egypt lost many things. 3 centuries before the time of Jesus Christ, Egypt was occupied by the Persians and later by the Greeks. And at the time of Jesus Christ, was a Roman colony. So the Egyptian lost of the sense of the being proud and being the people of the great empire and the great religion, and they are working for another rulers, for a different person. So 300 years, it changed the mentality. They lost even their religion. They are now worshiping a kind of mix between a Greek, Roman, Egyptians, idols, mixed religion. They lost the most valuable thing, the language. At this time, the Egyptians were practicing not the hieroglyphic anymore. They were practicing what they call Demotic, which has became something mixed with the Greek language and the Roman language. So there is a sense of losing their own identity. And when we see God is coming to them as a very vulnerable family coming to Egypt, is to meet both needs. It's wonderful to celebrate as God is finding a place to feel safe in Jesus Christ. But it's good to see God is working on both sides. When God is looking for what Jesus needs and the Holy Family needs, at the same time, he was looking for what these people, regardless of their nationality, regardless of what they were believing. But they were desperate for some hope. They lost most of what they were privileged by. They lost much of what they can stand for and say, we are the great Egyptian because of this and this and this. All these things on the list is not anymore. So the very interesting thing when we hear and bring history and the Bible and tradition together, we can agree on one thing. The two sides were desperate for a place. The two groups were desperate for a new hope. The two groups were desperate to find a new identity. How we can define ourselves not only by the language, not only by the religion, not only by the race, and not only by all these things. could we find hope in a new way to define ourselves. And as they talked about this very wonderful ancient history and tradition, and as you see the closeness of people to their priest. This is the priest, the Coptic priest, after the mass rituals, all these women coming close to receive the communion and to get blessing. And maybe this is a recent pictures, but I'm trying to imagine this is not that much difference from how people were desperate to find a savior. The Egyptians believed in many things, but seems there was still a hole. There was still a vacuum they were trying to find. They were smart in the early days. We are amazed by the pharaohs and all these things. But it seems they were still looking for something. And Jesus coming to this land was to honor the land and to tell them and to tell us. We all could be strangers in one moment. Remember the history of your fathers. The place of oppression, the place of slavery, also became a place of prosperity. Remember when Abraham came with starvation, also left with a huge wealth. And Jacob came with a depression of losing his own beloved son, Joseph, to find his son still alive. And Joseph was the most wise man knowing in the Egyptian history. And here is the Moses who were hurt, but also he learned by the ancient Egyptian wisdom, as the Bible told us. We are shaped by the good things and also by the bad things. We are shaped when we are opening our heart to see people and things from a different place. As this place, Egypt, can remind many of us, it's a place of hard moments and also a place of joy. The Holy Family took the risk to try to go to another place, to save their dream, a dream to have a savior, a dream to see justice, a dream to see a better life for our children compared to the one we have. They were open when they met the three kings. These three kings came from also a bad place. They came from the east. They came from what we have been known in history as a place for the Babylonian and the Syrian exile. But they were open to see people through a true relationship. They weren't captived by the stereotype of who is who and what we hear and what we think. But they were able to get in a true relationship and to know, I don't know you anymore as the Eastern or the Western, the Protestant or the Coptic. I knew as the one who was nice to me. I know as the one who came and honored my son. Nobody knows he's going to be the great king. You honored my son. You loved my little dream. And you are my close friend. And I think maybe this story helped them to go out of the stereotype as a Jewish, to think about not everything coming from the East is bad. Not everything coming from people who look this way could be bad. Maybe there is still another way to see and look through things in a different way. God is our refuge because he speaks the language we can understand, the universal language. He took to Joseph through dreams. He took to the Egyptians through the Trinity because they understood that. The refuge is a place that we can go to find people can understand us and can love us in the way as we are. We run from someone or maybe something, but God is inviting us to be our refuge. In God's refuge, you will have the chance to catch our breath. And as we are coming out of very busy season, maybe it's a time to catch our breath. maybe it's time to enjoy the Christmas spirit by being calm and reflecting. It's a time when we can think and reflect better on our journey, how it was before we enter to God's refuge, and how it is after we are. We all are strangers in this world, and the only love of God can make us home. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this moment, and we thank you for this day. Protect us from ourselves, protect us from our heritage, protect us from being captived by old ways, and give us the new spirit, the new soul, and the new vision to be your people. In Jesus' name we pray.
Please stand and we will recite our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. It's now time for us to return to our Lord's, some of our blessings that we have been giving. Thank you, Offertory. Thank you.
blessing. The same Spirit of our Father and Son and the Holy Spirit to be with you and protect you and guide you during the day and night from now and ever. Amen.